Welcome back to Masechet Kinim. Today we're doing the second parak, the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah. As mentioned in the introduction presentation, Masechet Kinim assumes that you are already familiar with all of the logic that has been taught in the previous Mishnahs, that's in the first parak. And that is the logic that will help you to appreciate the new material here in the second parak. Furthermore, as we will see, the structure of the second parak is really just sort of like the structure of the first parak. In the first parak, we learned about definitions of individuals, chatat and ola, and about definitions of groups. You have heterogeneous groups, which is a kenchova, which is an entangled pair, of which half of the birds have to be chatat and half of them ola. And you have homogeneous groups, where the birds for neder or nadava, all of which are ola. Then we learned about mixtures, first about mixtures of individuals with individuals, and that's where we found out that there are places that batel can and cannot be used. Then we learned about mixtures of individuals with groups, and that's where we found out that sveik sveika can be demonstrated. Also about mixtures of groups with groups, in symmetric equal number cases, and in asymmetric unequal number cases, where both the symmetric mixing and the asymmetric mixing, sveik sveika, is also demonstrated. For all of these, there were complete mixtures, as if the individuals or groups all came together. And where a second condition of all of these cases in the first parak is none of the birds have ever been brought to the Mizbeach. Okay, so we have complete mixing, none of them have gone to the Mizbeach. Now in the second parak, we're going to deal with sort of the same kind of problem. Still, nothing is going to the Mizbeach. However, these mixtures are partial, they're incomplete. So just to give a real-world kind of example of what we mean by an incomplete mixture, take the example that you have two cups of the same wine, and I pour a little bit from one cup into the other cup, so now in this other cup, I have a partial mixture of the wine from the first cup into the second cup, and if I pour it back, I now have a partial mixture in each of the two cups. So this second parak is going to deal with issues of partial mixtures, still of birds, where still none of them are being brought to the Mizbeach. Okay, nevertheless, in the first parak, here again in the second parak, we're going to begin with the simplest and most basic definitions. We're really following the same structure. However, for these incomplete mixture cases, we'll be looking at some halacha concepts that are somewhat different than batel and sveik sveika that we learned in the first parak. Now, sort of like a definition for incomplete mixing, we start the Mishnah. Ken stuma means a pair of birds or a nest of chova birds where we haven't said any of them is the chatat and any of the ola. They still have the entanglement condition that half of them have to be used as chatat and half of them to be ola. Shaparach is usually understood to mean mixed into. Mimenu, with it, gozel, is means a kind of bird, to the air. So a bird flew away, okay? Oh, a second kind of example, Sheparach ben hametot, shlamazel bird. It flies into the box of birds that's going to be left to die. Okay. Third case, Oshemet echad mehem. One of the birds in the kenstuma dies. Yikach zuk l'sheni. So go get another bird for the remaining bird. Because in the three cases, if it flies away into the air, it's not exactly batel, it completely loses its status. If you don't say a bird that flies away into the world loses its status, then you're going to have a subsequent problem with any bird you might find in the world. So it's not batel, but it's something sort of parallel to batel. It loses its status, okay? Even though it's a significant object, okay? Sheparach leben hametot. We presume that it's going to stay in Ben HaMetot, in which case it doesn't present any restriction for the bird that remains, just like when it flies away into the air and loses its status, it doesn't make any restriction, because we're not assuming the one that flies away into the air is going to be used as a chatas and an ola, and we're not assuming that one that flies into the metot, that the ones that are waiting to die is going to get used as a chatas and ola, so we can take a new bird for the second one. Okay. Oh, Shemet Echad Mehem, and we're not presuming that it's all of a sudden going to be revived from the dead and then going to get used as a chatas and ola. So in none of these three cases do we think that, what's happened is going to make a restriction that we're going to have to worry about how to use the remaining bird? Okay. So there's no entanglement restriction on the retaining bird, and we lose the there's a loss of status with regard to the bird that either flew away or flew into the metot or died. Again, like in the first mission of the first parag, this is an operational definition for an individual bird. That's the bird that remains. And the remaining bird will now acquire a new entangled mate. You take a new bird for it. Parach leben hakrevot. So what about this partial mixing case? I have a kenstuma, a pair of birds, and I have another kenstuma, and one flies from one to the other. Let's see how this can happen. I have a pair of birds for Mrs. A, remember, and a pair of birds for Mrs. B. And instead of them all mixing together, now I have two boxes. One bird has one box has the remaining bird for Mrs. A, and the other one has Mrs. B. So there's two, you might say, parach posed echad v'echad kenegdo, posed echad v'echad kenegdo. Puzzle two of these three birds, and that's not going to work. It's not going to work because if you wind up puzzling these two birds, you might wind up using this bird either as a chatas or an ola, and then you don't know how to use this one. So posel echad v'echad kenegdo means puzzle one from the group that it flew out of and puzzle one from the group that it flew into. The reason for this is if I puzzle one in here, it means I can use it, the mate of it as a chatas or an ola, and there's no restriction on if the mate gets used. If I puzzle, the reason I puzzle one in here is different because if I try to use three birds in here, two chatas and one ola, maybe the two chatases are both the B birds. So there's two different reasons for puzzle echad v'echad kenegdo. But again, there's nothing wrong with the birds. It's just they're invalid. They have a status of invalid that I'm not going to use them in order to let me use the other birds that I'm going to use. But there's nothing wrong with any one of the birds. Okay, so that's posel echad v'echad kenegdo. Shehagozel haporeach posel uposel echad kenegdo. And basically, they're telling you work it out, because when I showed you the first way, if you think puzzle echad v'echad kenegdo is to puzzle two in here, you see that that's not going to work. It's a masechet that asks you to do homework to prove to yourself the way the logic works. This is not rules based on authority. This is arithmetic. Everybody should get to the same answer. Okay. Now, this is sort of similar to the example in the second Mishnah of the first parag. You have two solutions, however, only one of them works. Now, each one's puzzled for a different reason. The one that flies out of the nest is puzzled to remove an entanglement restriction on the one that flies in. And in the nest that it flies into, it's to avoid a violation of the original entanglement condition of the bee birds of the second. Okay, now, let's look at something very peculiar that happened here in the language of the Mishnah. It says, "Kenstuma sheparach mimenu gozel la'avir." This is a very subtle pair of switching of words. Just like there was a very delicate switch of words in the second Mishnah of the first parag, where they used the word mixture of chova and nedava instead of saying mixture of chova with ola, here they've done two things. First, let's say they sheparach. Whereas in the first parak they said shenit arva, mixed. Sheparach also has the meaning of matured. Okay, so I had a bird which I didn't think was mature enough to be able to get out of the nest that I put it into or the box that I put it in, and in the with no intention whatsoever, it has matured enough to be able to jump out and either to fly out into the world or to fly into the metot or to die, not really problem. Okay. The other word that's funny is it says gozel. Gozel is a young bird, so they're giving a place a young bird who matures. That in the first mission we would always say an oaf. We would never say a gozel. So there's a subtle change of language here. So the kenst and that's really delicate. Why are they bringing me these cases? Okay, what's The first case that it flies away into the air, you could have had that already in the first perek, okay? But it's not an interesting case. If it flies into Ben HaMetot, there's really two different ideas that are suggested but not proved here, that there are metot that are proximate, that are somehow near enough for them to fly into. That's not something you would normally find in most of Eretz Yisrael, but when you start getting into Yerushalayim or close to Har HaBayit, you're probably going to start to find cases where there have been birds that have set aside. Again, for the people in the first parak who were worried about Tsar Baalei Chayim, about locking birds up into Ben HaMetot, if a bird can fly into Ben HaMetot, then there are actually ways that birds can escape from Ben HaMetot, and that's why we're back to Sheparach La'avir. So if it got into Ben HaMetot and it parach La'avir and it didn't die, it doesn't have any status problem on it either. This is all sort of combined in this first Mishnah. Okay. Now, let's look at the second Mishnah here. Ketzad. Remember, Ketzad means you've got homework to do. You should probably work out a lot of examples after you see this. Shtei Noshim. I've got two women. Lezu Shtei Kinim v'lezu Shtei Kinim. Let's see how it works. What's going on? I've got two women, Mrs. A and Mrs. B. I'm sorry. I've got Mrs. A, she's got two birds, and I've got Mrs. B, she's got two birds. Now, something flies from A into B. So I would assume the rule, plus lechad ve'echad kenegdo. Now something flies back, chazar. Now I don't know if it's the A bird that flew back or the B bird that flew back, so I would assume I do minus one and minus one, and that means that there are no birds left. And the Mishnah basically tells you, no, we're working. We have an objective here to use as many birds as we can without having any restrictions on the bird. So, shtei nashim, lezu shtei kinim, velezu shtei kinim, two women. One has two birds, a kinim birds, the other has two kinim birds, or one has four kinim birds and four kinim birds. It's not going to matter. Parach mezu lezu, posel echad b'chali chaso. It flies from one to the other, so you have puzzle here and puzzle connecto. Chazar, you have puzzle echad and puzzle echad connecto. Parach v'chazar, parach v'chazar. So let's look at the case of four. Let's say I had four A birds and four B birds. So it flies over again, minus one, and it flies back again, minus one and minus one. And you still should come out to zero. But that's not the case. The case is lo ifsid klum. Why? She'afilu hen miravavot, which is the case that we had before in the third mission of the first parak. If I would say, let's put them all in one box, mexa kosher, mexa pasul. So here too, mexa kasher, mexa pasul, and pachot mishnayim. You're never going to have less than half the birds that are kosher that you can use and bring to the mizbeach. And so the ketzad here, ketzad shtei nashim, is that you can work out as many cases as you want. The objective is to use as many birds as you can possibly use without any designation of stumot. And without any violation of this entanglement rule that half of each woman's birds have to get used as chatas and half as ola, or less than that. Okay? A brief look ahead. In the third Mishnah, it's going to be sort of like the third Mishnah of the second parag. It's going to be sort of like the fourth Mishnah of the first parag, because in the fourth Mishnah of the first parag, we had a case of Rabbi Yossi suggesting how halacha works. And the surprise is coming up to us in the next Mishnah, the third Mishnah of the second parag, that we're going to see another novel aspect of how halacha works. Thank you.